Pastor Jonathan Ignite. This is the day, this is the evening that the Lord has made. We rejoice. We're glad in it. We're grateful unto God for his goodness. We're grateful unto God for his presence. And we're just wanting to tell each one of you, thank you for tuning in for this particular prayer call this afternoon, as early morning, late morning as well. The Lord just embarked upon me to take on the assignment tonight to call an urgent prayer for just the people of God, our nation, every person and every platform that I have that deals with the sound of prayer. I wanted you to reach out tonight and just kind of understand that where we are now, in our lives and in the kingdom of God, in our nation and in our country, like never before, we need the sound of prayer. We need the sound of unity, and we need the sound of understanding. And we need to be able to take a few moments tonight to try to come together as children of God, as people of God, to be able to have an answer and to have a strategy to deal with the different forms of chaos that our country is dealing with. So tonight, as we get ready to get started, I pray God will give us answers, that God will give us victory, and that his will be done on this call tonight. The question now becomes, as I start out, is how do we pray when your nation or your country is in chaos? How to pray when your nation or your country is in chaos? There was a situation now that 3-4 months ago, we thought the beginning of this COVID-19 coronavirus, late January, February, and also going into March, it was a settled thing, but it grew into a pandemic, and this pandemic has affected our world in such a way to where we are fastly approaching and vastly approaching globally around the world towards 400,000 people. Tonight, I want you to know that I plan to be quite transparent. I plan to be as open with you as I possibly can about where I am. There's so many different takes on this issue. I want to deal with some things that I will address and that God is leading me to say. I will not use the name of God frivolously, using his name for my own expressions or perhaps referencing him with something that he didn't say to me to say to you. To me, that's one of the most dangerous things that a spiritual leader can do, to put God's name on their own personal preference. To me, that's using the name of God in vain. So as we were going through, and we still are going through, the coronavirus and the pandemic, the Lord has spoke to me a couple of weeks ago when the agenda of our country and the pressure of our country was to get the country opened back up. And one day I was in meditation, and I sent to my oldest brother, Bishop James E. McKnight Jr., and I sent to a couple of other pastors and bishops that I knew. And I texted them this. I said, I'm very concerned when man tries to act as an authoritative in the spirit realm. My exact words were this: God will always show man that man can't change the narrative as if though man has the authority to change a narrative of God or what God will allow. And for the past 2 weeks, I've been concerned. Matter of fact, I said last week on a prayer call before we got to the chaos part of where we are now, I said on a prayer call, I said, I'm concerned because I hear America weeping. I said it, it was taped, it was recorded. I said, I hear America weeping. And the reason why I heard America weeping, I asked God, what did it mean? He said, because man thinks that they can just change the narrative. And anytime man thinks they have the power to shut down, the power to open up, the power to say what's to be, and the power to say what's not to be, they are acting in the place of an authority that they don't have rulership in. So therefore, I have to let man know you can't just change the narrative without consulting me. And then embarking upon from our White House to our governors to our political officials, they made a decision, and I understand why economically, but I just wonder how much spiritual consultation there was, because man cannot, under no circumstances, take the role of God. And when we try to change the narrative, then God will allow the whole narrative to be changed. 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, the country was all about social distancing. It was all about masks. It was all about washing our hands. It was all about, you know, social distancing. It was all about being careful about the coronavirus. And now the whole narrative, the whole temperature, the whole fabric, the whole emotions of the United States of America has changed in just a few days. I've been concerned because, and I'm going to talk now, not as Pastor McKnight, I'm just going to talk for a few moments, if you allow me to talk as a man, a black man, an African-American man, a person who, well, this issue is not just about color, it's about humanity. It's about a person. It's about people. It's about the concern for lives. It appears to me that the concern for life, the concern, if there's no concern for life, surely there cannot be a concern for souls. God said all souls are mine. So when there is no concern or care for humanity, you're basically, there is no concern for the creation of who God made us to be. So right now, because of what happened with this horrific evil, call it what it is, murder of lives that are happening, it has released a divide, anger, bitterness, myself, and I'm not easily shaken, but I found myself up 3 o'clock in the morning. I found myself looking at the video to where I had to turn it off because it was hurtful, it was painful. And me being a pastor, me being a spiritual leader, had to start fighting feelings within me that I had long thought I had suppressed or got over. I've been a victim. I've been victim of profiling. I've been a victim of racial profiling. I've been a victim of racial slurs. I've been a victim of racial discrimination. I've been a victim. I won't even get into that because it's not about me. And I finally had to shut it down for a minute because I had to control the thoughts of my mind. I had to literally go to God, and I've been going to God because I am for people, but also I wanted to make sure that anger and bitterness and hurt and this feeling that was trying to raise up in me would not cause me to react, because now I know I'm in this major divide. I'm in this major battle because I know what my spirit says I should be feeling, but I also know what the reality of the carnal, of the fleshly, but yet the human part of me is feeling. So I'm not going to sit up here and let you know that thinking that, oh, I've just been all spiritual. I've been all thinking holy. I've been all thinking righteous. I had to fight. I had to fight to recollect and contact my old me back into the me that which God has transformed me to be. And I begin to think about some things. I begin to think about if I had to fight being a fifth generational preacher, if I had to fight being raised by godly parents, if I had to fight pastoring a church, if I had to fight having the Holy Spirit in my life, if I had to fight have gone to multiple Bible colleges and have, degrees in divinity and theology, if I had to fight being over a prayer army, if I had to fight traveling around the world preaching the gospel, then people who have nothing inside of them to fight with are now responding all types of ways. So the question now becomes, how do we pray when a country is in chaos? How do we pray when there's racial divide, anger, bitterness, hurt, pain, racism, evil, heartlessness, wickedness, profiling, and just flat wrong? How do we pray? And I've been going to God saying, God, how do we pray? And I need you to give me some answers. And I need you, God, to make sure that me as a pastor, or me as a man, or me as an individual are not just releasing things. I need spiritual understanding. And he began to talk to me. So now I'm going to talk to you just for a few moments, and we're going to pray. Here is what God began to say to me. Number one, the enemy is tactical. He's very tactical. He's very divisive, but yet it takes people. Since he operates by way of spirit, he has to get into people who are empty, oftentimes of God's spirit, who can be used. And then God took me to John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to kill. We've seen that. To steal, we've seen the looting, which that's not the remedy to break in people's. I've been a business owner to destroy people's dream, because some of the people's lives that are being destroyed, some of the people businesses that are being destroyed and families that are being destroyed. It's just fertilizing the hatred in another way. So the enemy comes to kill. We've seen that by way of video. He comes to steal. We've seen that by way of video, social media, and the whole public platform. We see it hours after hours after hours. And what it's doing is it's building a release of heartlessness and wickedness and wrong. While we understand the pain of this, and I am so hurt by this, I had to have last night, me and my son, yesterday evening, we had a conversation about this, and it took us back because we were interviewed when we had here in Central Florida the case of Trayvon Martin. It shook our community. It shook our nation. It was right here. And in Central Florida, we've seen so many different forms of evil. We dealt with the Trayvon Martin case. Then we dealt with the Pulse shootings, one of the most horrific gun attacks in American history. And now we're dealing with this. And the enemy comes to kill. He comes to steal. And then he comes to destroy. We're seeing that. Lives are being destroyed. Confidence is being destroyed. Unity is being destroyed. Togetherness is being destroyed. And there are people literally coming to capitalize on causing there to be destruction and causing there to be a divide just to enhance the evil so the world can be in chaos. Man start trying to control the narrative, even politically, by not reporting the amount of deaths, delaying testing for the coronavirus so information will not bring people in fear. Man has been trying to control the narrative out of the authority with themselves, but they don't have the power to control God's country. Psalm 24 and 1 said, "The earth is the Lord's." Not the Republicans, not the Democrats, not the Liberal Party, not a man, not a woman. The earth belongs to God. It's the Lord's. And you can't have authority over something that you didn't create. He like gives us positions, and he gives us rankings, and he gives us titles for men and women to do the things that need to be done on behalf of his people. Jesus said, "But I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And the battle of this thing is not just black, white. It's not just red, yellow. It's not just, whoever against whatever. It's much bigger than that. If we try to fight now and don't know how to pray, this country will go into further chaos. So I began to ask God. I said, "God, what is it? I need answers. I need to know. I really need to know what you need and how you need us to pray. What do you want us to do? We need to hit it now. We don't need 30. We don't need 3 more weeks of missing how to target what we need to target. We don't need another 2 weeks of what we're seeing. We don't need another week or 10 days of what we're seeing." I got an alert tonight. Our city is back under curfew because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We need to know how to pray when a country is in chaos. So we got multiple issues. We got the coronavirus, which people seem to have forgotten about when it was time for another type of chaos. So the enemy tries to kill, steal, and destroy. And the reason how and why he tries to do it is he tries to get us to be overruled, overtaken, and succumb to our natural carnality. And you can't blame some people. They don't understand. But we have to, as believers, we got to target strategically. while we empathize, while we sympathize, while it's hurtful to me, I tell you no lie, it's hurtful. It's hurtful. There's been times I've been in places and profiled and pulled over and on a dark highway by myself with multiple officers, and it could have went another way for me. So I've already been in positions like that. I'm just grateful to God. But right now, what do we do? What do we say to our children? We got to have a conversation with them. We got to be able to pray over their minds and their spirits. What do we say to our sons? What do we say to our daughters? What do we say to God? Here is what else God gave me. He gave me Acts 4 and 31 that says that when the place and when the church went in prayer, the place was shaken and it was filled with God's spirit and God's power. And then he took me to Ephesians 6 and 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tactics of the devil. Verse 12 is where he got me. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Here's how we need to pray, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And when I think of the word spiritual wickedness, I want to explain that to you. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, against spiritual wickedness, against people who are coming against the plan, the power, and the word of God in high places. And God said something to me, and I'm going to say it to you. When we think of the word principalities, it's a territory of a prince that has power, superiority, and can have authority to rule. Authority meaning in high places, meaning people who have the authority to make decisions, who have been given authority, who are wicked. Oh, I know you need to hear what I just said. And the Lord began to have me to write down, he said, the territory of a prince. Notice, it's prince, it's not king, because they're not king. Prince. That's why when Daniel chapter 10, he prayed against the prince of Persia that was able to delay, able to hinder, delay, detour, and try to deny the miracles of God being released. So God had to use angels to be dispatched against the principalities of the territory in which they thought they were ruling. Now, what we saw with the police department was someone that was given authority. That was a principality. That was someone that was given authority that wickedness came over. It goes more than to just the police department. And there's some great officers. There's some great, I'm in my city, there's some great police officers in Orlando, Florida. There's some great people that work for the church. I have their friends of mine. I've been in this city and worked along with the police department, have good citizenship awards from the police department. So I'm not lumping everybody into one group. But that particular instance was a principality that had authority over a territory. And what Paul was saying is, he was saying to the church, we gotta pray. And the Lord began to have me to write down. He said, we can't wrestle against flesh and blood, because see, right now what we see in the streets right now, that's flesh and blood. That's the looting and the violence and the hitting and the shooting. That's flesh and blood. But the Lord said, he said, Pastor, you got to pull some people together and see beyond what they see. You got to pull some people together and begin to pray against the principalities of the people who have authority that are wicked in high places. That goes judicially, in the judicial system, when there's wickedness, when there are certain rules for some and no rules for others. That's a principality. When the judicial system shows favoritism and discrimination, that's a principality. That's somebody that has rule over a jurisdiction, over a district, over an area. Not only the judicial system, the political system, even in our White House. If there is our White House, our Black House, our Red House, any house, anytime there is a principality, anytime there is someone in a territory, even in our streets, the gangs, even in our streets, the overtaken with drugs. See, there are turf wars going on because there are principalities. See, there are principalities. The Lord said, if we just start praying off what we see and don't deal with the principality of the territory, we have to not waste our time with wrestling with flesh and blood, worrying about people who roll their eyes at you or don't like you. That's not what we are supposed to be praying against. We got to pray against the principalities of our judicial system, the principalities of our educational system, the principalities against our economic system, to where dollars and bills are being passed and the people that really need them are not getting them, and the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer and the deprived are being more deprived. We got to pray against the wickedness in high places. We got to pray against those in authority who do not have the heart and mind of God, and we got to pray that God shut it down. We got to pray that God pull down the strongholds of the wickedness in high places. I don't care. I don't care if it's in the Senate. I don't care if it is in the House. I don't care if it's in Congress. I don't care if it's in the Supreme Court. I don't care if it's in the local court. I don't care where it is, in city government, in county government. We have to pray against the wickedness of those in authority and make sure God releases people and his presence who is concerned about his agenda. So you want to ask me how to pray, and I'm going to tell you as I read Romans 8 and 37, 38, 39, and then I'm going to 31. Nay, in all these things, we are, as you and me, more than conquerors through him, God, that loves us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, and nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I go back to Romans 8 and 31. And what shall we then say to these things, when there's rioting, when there's looting, when there's COVID-19, when there's hatred, when there's racism, when there's divide, when there's evil, when there's heartlessness, when there's bitter and there's anger? What shall we say to these things? people of God, children of God, and even those that don't understand who God is, don't even understand how much God loves them, because they're hurt and they're afraid and they're being tormented by fear. What then shall we say to these things? Here's what I live by. Here's the scripture that I go to. If God be for us, who can be against us? Has a mandate of telling us how to pray has been released. We come against the rulers of darkness, the ones who are smiling and don't mean nothing they're saying, the ones who their own motives and their cliques and their hidden agendas, thinking that they can deceive the people of God and the children of God, trying to control the narrative. Y'all mark my words. Mark this as prophetic. You and I will begin to see God within 7 days from this date. It is May 31st, 2020. Before or by next Sunday, you'll begin to see God deal with the principalities, the powers of darkness, because we're not going to wrestle with flesh and blood. We're not going to fight fire with fire. We're going to get in the best position that the church can be in. We're going to get on our knees, and we're going to fight with what we know can win. And what we know can win is the power of God. And the reason why I read Acts 4 and 31, he said, and when they prayed, the place was shaken and they were all filled. You know what we need? You know what we need in America? We need an outpouring of a Holy Ghost invasion and the Spirit of God to take us back to the book of Joel 2, when it says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, from the baby to the teenager to the young man to the young woman. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old man's going, we're going to dream dreams and we're going to see vision. It's time for us to get the focus back of getting back into the presence of God. I want to thank you for joining me tonight on this emergency urgent prayer call that says, what do we do when a country is in chaos? How do we pray? Because the enemy wants us looking at each other. He wants us looking at black, white, Hispanic, Asian, other cultures. That's not the issue. See, that's the flesh and the blood. He wants us to just attack. There are police officers that are believers. There are police officers that I got friends, officers and deputies who are served. They're pastors. They're pastors leading congregations. So it's not all just the, it's the principalities. It's the principalities. It's getting out the evil that's been hidden in this country for so long. It's the situations that they'll stand before a camera and act as if though they're with it, but behind the scenes, they're evil and they're wicked. Give it 7 days. Just as sure as my name, Jonathan, it will start within 7 days. It will start within 7 days from tonight. Because this prayer that we're going to believe God for is going to take the blinders off the things. It's going to take the blinders off the people who've been operating up under evil with a loving and even sometimes righteous and even sometimes together undertone. But I decree there will be exposure. God will pull it down. God will shut it down because we need love in our country. We need togetherness in our country. We need unity. We need prayer. We need God because our children are confused. They don't know who or what to believe. They don't even know who to trust. We're going to teach them how to trust God. I want you to get ready to pray. You're pleading the blood of Jesus. I find it interesting that starting this coming Tuesday, we got a prayer call. We're getting ready to do 6 a.m. prayer for 3 days. It was already set. It's been set since the beginning of the year. I believe that God is strategically pulling a remnant together that's not trying to be seen, that's not trying to get hits on Facebook, not trying to get hits on YouTube, that want to hit the devil in the spirit realm. That's what we need. We need to get off platforms and get on our knees. That's what we need. We need prayer. We don't have enough conversation. We don't have enough talk. We don't have enough what's your take on it. And then when they get the take on it, then they walk off the stage and don't even pray against the principalities. And the enemy still in place. There's getting ready to be a holy disruption. There's getting ready to be a Holy Ghost spirit feel invasion against the principalities and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what's getting ready to happen. I don't claim to be no big time prophet, no prophet at all. I don't claim to be no YouTube wonder, but trust me, I know when God speaks, it's getting ready to be an invasion against principalities, against evil rulers in high places who've been camouflaged too long. And some of it's generational. God's going to shut it down. We need truth. We need prayer. We need worship. We need praise. We need revival. That's what we need. So join me now. Join me now and put prayer back in your house. Stop praying for cars. Stop right now praying for just houses and possessions, because principalities are trying to take over our world and our nation. There's even terrorist plots that's trying to capitalize evil while we are fighting ourselves. They are rejoicing because they're hoping that we destroy ourselves. But right now, God is fitting to come in. Right now, God is fitting to shape something that we've never seen before in our life. There's about to be a Holy Ghost invasion. There's about to be an outpouring against the principalities. A lot of times I see people following people. My question is, how much do you really talk to God? Does God know your voice? Father, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we're coming to you tonight. I've done what you said say and said what you said to do. Thank you that the burden that you had on my spirit is now lifted. If my people who are called by my name will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek your face, we'll hear from heaven. You'll heal our land. God, the same realm of power that you had over Daniel when there was chaos because of his prayer life. Every plot and every satanic scheme, every demonic intention, every hidden scheme, buried deceit, buried wickedness, and camouflaged evil. Oh, God, you told me to pray against it. You told God, thank you, God, that there are people that really want chaos. They want to hide behind chaos so they will not be recognized. But God, I speak, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Bring a calm to our country. God, people are upset. People are hurt. People are frustrated. And I understand it to a degree. But God, it's not just the emotions of it. It's who is behind it. The thief comes, but to kill, steal, and destroy, Satan himself, and those that are working in agreement with him. But I ask you, God, for a blood covering over innocent lives and innocent businesses. There are people destroying people's businesses who've done nothing to them, God. They're destroying families, and they're destroying households, and they're creating more hatred. Oh, God. But I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for justice. Not a slap on the wrist, justice. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. I come against the delay of justice. I come against turning our heads to evil and wickedness, turning our faces away from what is not right because we want to keep a position or we want certain people to like us. God, it will not happen. You have spoken and have decreed it, and I released it, that we pull down every stronghold. We cast down every wicked imagination. We bind every generational curse. We bind the teaching of evil and the teaching of hatred. We come against those who are mentoring others to dislike people because of their age or their gender or their color or their nationality. I bind every demonic hater, every wicked thinker. Thank you, Jesus, that's been tied for generations. I command in the name of Jesus that it will not live and be able to operate up under his ugly head. I pray for those who are on the streets, who are fighting to try to protect against the chaos. Oh, God, those in the military, those in law enforcement, those who just don't know which way to turn. There are innocent people out there trying to bring peace. But, God, I pray. God, I don't care, God, if you have to send storms through cities. I don't care whatever you have to do to silence it, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to do. God, you can send a wind. You can send a storm. You can send something that will shut it down. You can just cause there to be a steal back in America and let man fully understand. Man, you don't have a right. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your authority is. I don't care what your title is. You can't change the narrative of God. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof is all they that dwell therein. I come against satanic strategies. And God, give us wisdom. Give us peace. Give us the right words to say. Give us the right behavior to have. Give us the right mindset. Settle the minds of people. Get in their hearts and heal them of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. And God, the families who've had suffering, the families, so many, not just this family, God, but there's so many families we don't even hear about. There's so many families we don't even know about. God, this is nothing new. This has been going on for all of our lives. It just had the ability to be exposed. Now, God, let justice and freedom reign. God, it's your will for there to be peace. And I'm asking you to bring a calm in families. Let families pray together. Let families love together. Let families believe together. And even those that don't even believe in you, There's no controlling factor on the inside of them. They've been damaged all their life. They've been hurt all their life. They've been hopeless all of their life. I pray you stabilize them. Even the ones that are becoming stronger addicted to drugs and alcohol and opioid and all of the other things out there that's trying to capture their spirit. I pray you set them free, God. I pray you loose them from cocaine and loose them from crack cocaine and loose them from strongholds and loose them from struggles. Oh, God, loose them and save them. And God, let them know you love them. Let the love of God, let the love of God, let the love of God reign. Let the peace of God reign. Satan, I bind you. You are defeated. That's why you're trying to cause there to be like you have. But I command in the name of Jesus that you are defeated in our families, in our communities, in our cities, in our nation, and those that are working along with you. Spiritual wickedness in high places, whether it's politically, judicially, educationally, economically, wherever it is, authoritative, law enforcement, wherever the wickedness is, God, I ask you to shut it down and remove it. And quickly, quickly, I ask you. I know I said next Sunday, but God, you could start now. You can move right now, God, against those mountains in the name of Jesus. Heal those who are suffering from the COVID-19. Heal those who are infected. Heal those who don't even know they're around it. Heal those who are suffering from grief and loss of loved ones and friends and neighbors. God, give us wisdom spiritually in our spiritual leadership, in our churches, as bishops, apostles, and pastors, and people who are leading people. Oh, God. Give us wisdom in the name of Jesus. We will not be pressured to do anything but what you say. And we thank you. And we bless your name. And we're covered by the blood. Bless this nation. Protect our country from plot, scheme, and terrorism. Protect our borders. Protect our theme parks. Protect our streets. Our communities, our grocery stores, our school system, just protect us. Every place we trod, every place we ride, every place we go, our airports, just protect us. Protect us. Our college campuses, protect us. Protect us. And we promise you, God, we're going to honor you. We acknowledge you, God, that you're our helper. You're our keeper. You're our God. You're our strength. You're our shelter. And you're our shepherd. And we thank you that it's already done. And we pray this prayer according to Mark 11, that whatsoever thing we desire when we pray, we believe that we shall receive it and we shall have it. And we thank you that it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank you for the hundreds of you that have tuned in tonight to hear this emergency prayer call. I want you to know, hopefully before the night is over, we'll be able to share this. And have you have the ability to be able to share it with someone else. He's God of the chaos. He still sits on the throne. My prayer is that God will bless you. God will bless your family. God bless you. Be safe. Be wise. And talk to God. It's Pastor Jonathan McKnight, Senior Pastor of Sanctuary Praise Ministries. God